Along with your house.
Good evening. Excuse me. Do I have a call? So, I bless the Lord for everything that He has done in my life and in your life. I thank God for this church, for you and for the pastor. And the reason that I came here this time is because I was doing something for my son and my wife, and it was paperwork coming through the immigration. And I had a problem because each year they actually changed the forms. They add some more questions. So when I did it for my son Paul, everything went fine. But I just did it for my wife and did it for David, and they asked some more questions, and I had some problems because I don't remember exactly, I mean, the first date that I actually came into the country. It's not like I don't remember, because I was playing in the jazz band, and I didn't remember what the guy put on the papers when he was giving us legal papers. So we had a visa, I mean, we came, but after that, the manager of the band, he had to just, there was a general amnesty, so anybody that was in the country before 1988, so the government was giving them, you know, a green card. So I was one that benefited from that. So I haven't seen the guy for more than 20 somewhat years, and I didn't know where I was going to find him. And I blessed the Lord till I found him. I went to Brooklyn, New York. I think our brother Bobby asked to go with me, and we went, and we asked in all the barber shops and electronic shops and women beauty salon and any stores that open. I just go in there. It was like a cop research. So we finally, I went to a record store, and I found a guy that said, yeah, I know him. And he gave me his business number. And Bobby put that business number in his cell phone, and we came up with an address. And that address, so we spent, I mean, the whole night praying, say, Lord, please help me to find this guy tomorrow, because the address said he's not in Brooklyn, New York, he's in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. So I said, Lord, please, I beg you to help me find him, I mean, at the door. And that's exactly where I found him, standing at the door. And I got the information that I needed. And I blessed the Lord for that. And the mission is over. So tomorrow morning, I got to get back to my family and to my church. So thank you for praying for me. And I thank God. I know that I always have a home here. And I always have a family here. And I thank God for that. And I know maybe one day, I don't know, if there are tarries, you guys have a home too in Haiti. So, you know, some people might think it's somewhat too dangerous. but you know, the Lord provides. I was talking to my wife this morning. She told me that the cholera, you heard about that disease? She told me yesterday 200 people died, and a few more hundred, I mean, went to the hospital. And one day, 200 people died with that cholera yesterday. Now, you know, the diseases are getting piled up on the country. So, please, we need your prayers even more. We were looking at something on the internet yesterday. That's Filarois? Filarois, something like that. My wife told me, she saw on the news, that's a new thing. When we were looking at it, it came from Africa and Asia. But that thing is a terrible disease. I mean, they said that thing also which Haiti. Can you explain to them what that thing does to people? Cool. terrible. So we have a lot of projects, but you know, the biggest thing, we pray that the Lord come first. You know, if there are tithes, so we're still working on some projects, because the people in the church, because we had like 2 years, the Lord gave us, we had a program on the television and radio, and the people saw the effect. I mean, that thing could do it on the Haitians, and they actually started, I mean, a radio program. Just like they, almost every month, they put a little money aside, and they said, like, we must have a radio station. So it's not me that do it, it's the people in the church. So it's necessary. It will be necessary because of the revival the Catholic is doing there. I went to the government station. They cover the whole land, and they wanted to get rid of me. They charged me $5,000 American a month, and they give it to the Catholic for free. So it's just terrible. It just every there is a gate everywhere. It just, you cannot cross it. The Baptist mission, there is a Baptist mission there. They have like a few hospitals. They have more than 1,000 churches, but they also blacked us. And I see that they play like the Catholic stuff, the Pentecostals, but they said no to us. So somehow, I mean, for us to be heard in the country, we had to go through some you know, Gentiles network. So we had no choice, and we believe that if the Lord so tarries, so please help us to pray on that, because we might need one. It will be very necessary. Because we want to, for the whole country, I mean, to listen to the Bible studies that we offer. It is very important. Because since the president, it was like 2 weeks ago, Haiti got a new president. And this guy, it's just like so amazing. Last year, he's a jazz band singer. Last year, he was dancing with a woman bikini. And with woman bra, this year is the president of the country. And when you ask the people why you voted him, they said because we wanted to have a vagabond. I said why? Because this man can take his pants off, you know, no problem. It's just amazing. And if they didn't put him in power, I believe there would be a lot of people. I mean, who would have gotten killed. Because the people already with their manchetes and with their, I mean, gasoline and fire, they would burn a lot of stuff. And they actually burn all the government buildings because they tried to kick this man out. And the people said, no, you got to give him to us, because they're tired of the educated, you know, men and men with suit and tie. They said they're tired of the guys that went to the universities. So they wanted a vagabond. So that's what they get. So we need a lot of prayer. So, please remember us and pray for us, because it is really necessary. There's a lot of other stuff, but I don't know, maybe afterwards. So, if you guys have any questions that we could we can answer it for you. And thank you so much for praying for my wife, because she just had 2 months ago two surgeries. She had like a fibroid tumor, and she had that thing removed. And I thank the Lord, because she was, you know, really afraid. And the Lord, that thing turned out to be fine. And she's getting healed. I mean, it's a blessing. And thank you so much for praying for us and for helping us. Because I remember Pastor Maybe said that, and you guys sent a love offering. And to help with the cost of that thing, which was like $5,000. And thank you so much. I really appreciated that. Okay, let's go to the Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I said it in French, and I remember. This is a Thessalonian. That's exactly what they say in French. Thessalonian. But it's hard when you have like 3 languages in your head or 4 languages. this is ridiculous. Like in Haiti, you have French and Creole. And you cannot take one and not take the other. Like, we're translating the Bible in French, but it's also a trouble because we also have to do it in Creole. You're in big trouble. I mean, you cannot take the Creole, leave the French out. You cannot take the French, leave the Creole out. See, that thing divided the country even more. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. So, excuse me sometimes, you know, if I say a French word. Okay, First Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh boy. We go to start in verse 1. Why don't we pray first? Father, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you so much, Father, for everything that you have done for us. Thank you so much for this moment and for your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for the Bible, dear Lord. Thank you so much for your people. Thank you so much, Father, for this moment in time. Oh, dear Father, you give us strength and health and everything and to continue serving you. And we bless thy name, Father, for your goodness. Thank you so much. We pray that you preserve our brother Moses preaching tonight in the church in Haiti. And Father, we pray that you help us, oh, dear Father, to do something for you that would really please you, oh, dear Father, in Haiti. Because, you know, the situation, it's nothing that is new. It's nothing that we will explain to you that you don't know. And we bless your name, oh dear Father, for having us there. And thank you so much for protecting us and give us health that the work can be done. Thank you, Father. Bless the people here and show mercy unto me right now, dear Father. And we bless you, praise you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our First Thessalonians. Thessalonians. Go back. But of the time and the seasons, the first verse. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord also cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Today I was thinking, really, about, you know, the message to preach, and it would be easy, I mean, to preach a message, one of the messages that I have. But when it's something new, it's different. I thank the Lord for it. I was thinking about the Iran president when the Lord was giving me the message today. I mean, this guy that went to a UN meeting and went to with the Bible and with the Koran. And he just, you know, put the Bible up and says, this book is full of hate. And he told the Koran, he said, this book is full of love. And you see all the UN. I mean, this is just amazing. The president of Iran. I forgot this guy's name. But it's just amazing, I mean, to see that. The other sad thing that brought me to this message is last week when your President Obama made a speech. I copied that because I read the whole thing. And I said, man, this is amazing. That's the way it's going. That's exactly the way it's going. But the Bible says, as Christians, it's just like there is a time and a season. The action that God, that is in the period of time. The Bible says, you have known it that, you know, that Paul write it unto you, because Christians, I mean, should know. I mean, we would never be like, what, our campaign? I mean, just try to put a date, to put an hour, things like that. But, I mean, the time and the season is Jesus Christ that's coming, and it's the Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that is in you. That means you should know the time. It shouldn't be a surprise, just like it would be a surprise, I mean, for everybody else that is not saved. It shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, the time should be clear, I mean, for the Christian to see what's going on and to get ready. I mean, just get ready for it, because it is coming. I have it in my spirit, knowing that I don't think we're going to be here for long. I mean, I felt that thing in my spirit. And when you reach verse 3, the Bible says peace and safety. That's good stuff. I mean, if you would be a president of the country, you get paid for it, and they would vote you if it's here for 4 years, or the country for 5 or 7 or 10 years. I mean, you would have to try your best to give the people some kind of peace and safety. That's good stuff. But when it says, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, I mean, after they would say peace and safety. That's mean, we're talking, this peace doesn't please God at all. This peace and safety doesn't please God at all. In America, America had, the Lord had really blessed this country, where we actually were supposed to expand the peace of the Lord and His safety to the other countries. I mean, by sending the missionaries, through the evangelists, I mean, through the pastors, through the Christians. I mean, we've been, we are partaker of that. I mean, of the peace of the Lord. I mean, that's why the Lord blessed America so much. But it is amazing to see now, your President Obama wants to be the leader of peace. That thing is going to go through the UN. But the one that called the shots is, it's the President. And it's just amazing. I mean, you know, it's just telling all the countries, I mean, what to do. And the peace process, I mean, Israel will be sacrificed. And that thing is one of the most scary things. I mean, now, they forget about the way God says you must attain peace. So they're going about their own way to just get the peace. And the Bible says, then sudden destruction will come. I mean, they will attain it. I mean, you can bet on that. It will be done. And there's no doubt about it. It will be done. And for the destruction to come. So the Christians, I mean, our eyes should be open, I mean, to see the thing just the way it is. It's just amazing, I mean, the way the Bible shows us, I mean, certain things. It says, you know, peace and safety. Now, I remember last week your president said to Israel, if Israel give back the land, which they want him to give back the land to the Muslims, so they will give him security. Huh, I just laugh at that. They will give him security. I mean, if he just give back the land, including Jerusalem. I mean, this is just so sad. So now, when you go to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. the word which God said unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. I mean, you cannot find peace without the Lord. I don't care who's trying to preach it. I mean, who's trying to establish it. It just never will happen. Because we have been expanding peace through the world. I mean, by the Christians, I mean, truly working and then pray and then put their money to help, I mean, other countries find the Lord. To help the other countries find the Bible. I mean, yes, that's the peace that the Lord is talking about. It's just amazing. But now, the Bible says, and those that goes in to preach the gospel, they have beautiful faith. Those that goes to preach the gospel of peace. And there's no other way to find that peace. And this guy said he knows that the American faith bound to the Palestinians, to the Middle East. I've never read that anywhere else but in the president's speech. I don't think that thing is recorded in any other place. And the Bible doesn't say anything about that. I mean, just like the American faith bound with the Muslim. A country, I mean, only the word of God, I mean, lifted this country the way it is. So now they say, this is the first time you have that much of sodomites. Yeah, there's something that the people don't pay attention to. For example, in 1974, you had 148 tornadoes that just passed through America in like 24 hours. 148 in 1 and 24 hours. I mean, nobody pay attention to that. And after this guy's speech, I was last Thursday, and then Friday was him with Netanyahu, and then Sunday night, 125 people got killed. And on Tuesday, you had at least 4 more tornadoes pass by. But nobody's paying attention to anything. You know, it saddened me as an American citizen that the Lord brought me here and saved me here and gave me a good education, gave me a good job and everything. And it just saddened me to see this country, it just is turning the way it is. It just saddened me. And we do have, a prayer like every day at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. every single day. So I make sure that my people really always pray for America. It's not my prayer that will save the country, but it just saddened my heart. It just saddened my heart, I mean, to see that. That's just the way it is. So let's go to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. Because I know once America falls, there's going to be a lot of other countries that will fall with it. I mean, especially Haiti. Psalms 127, verse 1. Psalms 127, verse 1. It says, you get it? You fine? It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen wicked, but in vain. I mean, these people will throw away the Bible, and then they promise security to other countries? I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I mean, you're just going to throw away the Bible, and then now, within America is being crumbled, and then he's promised security to other countries outside. You know, when I look at America, like, with the big speech and everything, and I just go, I said, man, what a fake. What a fake, because inside of the country, the people are dying and losing their jobs, and things are terrible. And then, outside, I mean, you should hear the speeches. It's terrible. I mean, 2 weeks ago, President Obama gave Egypt $2 billion. And then put together with the other big leaders, they put together $40 billion for the Muslims. While America is suffering. And then now, he's trying to be the leader of peace. I mean, I'm not saying that this guy is the Antichrist. But I'm telling you, man, he's doing some brooming for the devil. He's just sweeping the floor for the devil. Yeah? I mean, if the Bible says peace and safety, it has to be the way through the Bible, the way through the preaching. I mean, through the saved people. Now, forget about the saved people, forget about the Bible, forget about the preacher, but now we're going to bring peace. I tell you, sudden destruction will also come. And it will come. And nothing will stop it. And it breaks my heart. Again, I mean, for the American people. I've heard the guy is talking about there is a tunnel that comes from Florida that goes all the way to Haiti. And I went to the internet to try to search for it. And I saw it. But I saw it, but I don't believe it. I think it's somebody just put that thing there. I don't believe it. Because there's a lot of things that they say for it. It's just crazy. I mean, what they say. You know, they believe like something terrible is going to happen. American will need that tunnel to flee to the Caribbean. I just don't believe that. But, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, God is the God of peace. Let me show you a few verses. Let's go to Romans. Romans 16. Romans 16. I mean, I just don't believe certain things, but that's exactly what they say. Romans 16, verse 10. 10a. I'm going to convince some folks here. I mean, God is the God of peace. I mean, when it says peace and safety, God is truly the God of peace. But that's not the way the people want to bring the peace. So it says in Romans 16, verse 28, it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace. You see, God is the God of peace. God loves peace. I mean, he will bring the peace. He is the God of peace. He is the Prince of peace. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. That was verse 20. 20. That was Romans 16, 20. You saw it? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So we're convincing some folks, showing you God is the God of peace. Not because they say peace, and then, you know, it's a good thing, and then they have to receive destruction because it's going to be peace and safety. No, this is not what God intended to do. Just like the Jews, they just forget about the word of God. They go about seeking their own righteousness, and they never attend to it. Because you have to do it the way God says. You see, that's the problem with the nations. So let's go to chapter five, verse 23. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23. You see? It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Could you believe that, guys? Could you believe the sodomites and the lesbian, they are preaching peace? You want to believe that, don't you? But they do. They do. I mean, just like, you know, the pastor was saying, they believe that you have a problem. They do believe that. So, okay, you see, peace, I'm trying to convince some folks before I move on. One more page, I mean, Second Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16, one more page. It says, verse 16. It says, now the Lord of peace, God is the God of peace. See, now the Lord of peace himself, give you peace always by all means. God is the God of peace. You see, the version that they're trying to use, that's not what God recommended. That's why we will have destruction. We'll have total destruction. And let me show you another verse. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. You find it? Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 20. It's, now, the God of peace. God is the God of peace. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. God is the God of peace. So, some of the folks, the Muslims, you know, think that we hate peace. You know what, the leader of the Freemasons in Haiti, after he heard me in the television, you know what he went up there to say? He said that some preachers come here trying to make the people afraid. I said, what? Telling the people there is a hell. He said, there is no such thing. He just started, preaching against everything that I said. I said, oh Lord, he's very lucky. I was out of the program. My time was done with. Oh yeah. Because I would fix that problem. I would fix that problem. Because it's nothing for me. I would fix it. For example, let's go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 verse 7. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. The man said, the Freemason, when we die, we go to hell. And then we get purified, and then we go to heaven. There's no such thing, it's not really a fire. Verse 7. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. And seek the peace. That's when the Lord carried the Jew to the slavery. By Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. That's a different type. For example, if you will not serve the Lord, to get the peace of the Lord might put you into the slavery, then you will have no other choice. Do exactly what it says right there. It says, why not? You will do it, because your head will be in the platter. It's just like, if you don't pray for the peace of the country, they might go ahead and cut your head off. So you will have to enjoy it in a different way. Now you do not enjoy your beautiful land. Your nice land and the job and, and the cars and the ACs and everything. So now you just keep sinning and then have the Lord just get in and have Nebuchadnezzar just take you in and put you in chain and go into the slavery. But now, the Lord says, you know what? If you really want to continue to have some kind of peace while you are in slavery, you will have no choice than to stay on your knees and to beg God for the mercy, I mean for the peace of that country. Because if they go like rioting like the Haitians, they just burn you up with gasoline and fire. And you don't like to enjoy the peace of the Lord? Okay. It's just so strange. I mean, the way that people, just pervert the way of the Lord, I mean, to bring their own stuff. Because everything bad in this life, it's a good thing twisted. I mean, peace is a wonderful thing. I mean, the Bible says, I mean, the peace that the Lord gives, I mean, which the world cannot take away. The Lord gives us great peace in the midst of trouble. I mean, we do have the peace. And sometimes, you know, the Christians, I mean, go out, I mean, kept sinning and then lose the peace. I mean, trouble their own conscience. And lose the peace. But we do have great peace. Let's go to Leviticus. I'm sorry, guys. Leviticus. Leviticus 3, verse 6. Leviticus 3, verse 6. Leviticus 3, verse 6. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. You know, it's just amazing to see that, I mean, in the Old Testament, when the people are offering the offerings unto the Lord, sometimes, you know, it's the burnt offering, it's the sin offering, it's the peace offering, it's a burning offering. It's just like the sin offering, just like you repent, your repentance. And the peace offering is just like when you truly throw yourself in there and obey what God said. Just like it says in the New Testament, it's not the hearers only, but the doers of the word. So it says without blemish. Now, I believe you cannot, I mean, if you want to offer me $1 billion to go with you to the moon, I would never go. I would never go. I mean, nobody would get me up there. Nobody. You know, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, there's a lot of things that people read through that. I mean, man goes up there, I mean, with the dirty sins and just dirty everything that the Lord is trying to do. So, they're trying to bring a peace. I mean, that is blemished. That is blemished. That is unclean. And that's not the way the Lord says he will give you peace. That's not the way. I mean, they just pervert everything that God says, I mean, to try to bring the peace. It doesn't shock me. I mean, the people in Haiti, I mean, ask for this type of prayer because I know the mentality of the people. And I know, I mean, everything they do, like the sacrifices that actually brought them into the misery and poverty. I mean, that's, you know, some guys, you don't get offended. Because I was at the airport, I've heard like the Haitians the other day are talking really bad about the president. They said, man, that there's not even one Haitian in the country. I mean, for the people to put this guy, I just kept my mouth shut. But I've heard the Haitians talking because they don't like him at all. You know, I mean, things change. That's just the way it is. Things change. Chapter 22, verse 21, Leviticus. Chapter 22, verse 21. Chapter 22, verse 21. Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 21. And whosoever offered a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or freewill offering, and beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish then. I mean, it's just amazing. The peace of the Lord is something that is perfect. I mean, you get that through the Spirit of the Lord, through the Bible. Yeah, but truly, I mean, everything that they're trying to offer billions and trillions of dollars, I mean, to try to create some kind of peace. And you know, it's just strange to see that America is the leader of this peace that the Lord hates. It's just amazing to see. I mean, I think that the Lord gave us a great opportunity. We were also the helper of the real peace. I mean, by just like I said before, by sending the preachers. And by helping, I mean, so many countries, especially this church. I mean, you guys, really, truly, you're doing a very good job. I mean, really, I mean, the things that you're doing in so many other countries, it's such a blessing. I mean, just like I was saying the other day, it's just like some people spend millions and millions, and they do more damage. And thank God, you guys are spending your money right. You're not doing any damage. I mean, you have the King James, you have the Spirit of the Lord, and you have the sound doctrine, and we bless the Lord for it. And that's a great way, I mean, to continue to bring the people the peace and the safety that the Lord is talking about. But the way that your government here is trying to bring the peace, that thing will just destroy America. It will destroy it. Because that's not the recommended way, I mean, from the Bible. It is not. Because it says, I mean, it shall be perfect to be accepted. Your peace offering, it has to be perfect to be accepted. Because the Lord will not accept it. That's why, I mean, when men actually get popped up and then they said, you know, we're just so proud, we spend this kind of billion, trillions and quadrillions of dollars, and finally we reach, you know, the level of peace, we give the world security, you better just pack your bag. You better just pack your bag and keep the backpack, because that's when that they will see the hand of God. I mean, with power. And the Lord put it there, it will happen. The Lord put it there, it will happen. Let's go to Ezekiah 14. Ezekiah 14. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 19. 14. Okay, verse 19 and 20. It says, you find it? Excuse me. Oh! No. Ezekiel. What did I say? Ezekiel. You know, it's not good to speak in tongues, you know. So I must have the Holy Ghost. So verse 19. Verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 and 20. You know what happened? When I just get to Haiti, I'm going to give them a couple of English words in here, you know, because it's just like, I don't know what happened, but things like that happen sometimes. I don't even, you know. Ezekiel 14, verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel 14, verse 19. He said, "Oh, if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it and blood, to cut off from it men and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver not a son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." It's just amazing. That was the time there, you know, in the midst of the Jew. The Lord said, that Jew, they actually crossed the line. I mean, they extended the final line that was the line of no return. I mean, God decided not to show mercy. God said, even these guys couldn't help their sons, nor their wives, nor their daughters. So they can only help themselves. And here, we can still go out, I mean, get somebody saved. But I tell you, the wrath of God against America stay there. Stay. I mean, there's nothing. There's no other country in the world that was a Christian nation. I know the Jews, they are the Lord chosen people. I mean, we know the story. But America, the Lord lifted America for a very purpose. And it seems like that purpose is at the very end of it. We are at the very end of it. And the fierceness of God against this country is just right there. I mean, some folks that are unsaved, probably it would be a hard time for them to believe that. But the Christians know that that's the truth. The Christian knows that that's the truth. I mean, we just crossed the very last lane. So there is no more lane, and the fierceness of God will not turn. I mean, until the trumpet sound, the church just raptured out of this place. So there will be some mercy and some peace for us to personally do the work of God. But the fierceness of God against not only this country, I would say, the world is just right there. Because some people are saying, okay, China will be, it's the second power after 5 years. I mean, they will be the first power. I mean, who cares? Because once, their God is just Buddha. And it doesn't matter if they reach the first heaven, the second heaven, they're going to hell anyway. I mean, they're going to hell. Because their God, I mean, is Buddha. They are Buddhist. So the Lord really care more for the Jew and for America. Because we say we are Christians, I mean, we have a Bible in our hands. So the Lord had given us something to do, and we started doing it very well. So somehow we got out of the way. And just like now, we pray for this country, and we pray for Haiti. And I thank you guys that really pray for us. I mean, that probably spare our lives from getting destroyed in Haiti. And I still believe Haiti can be revived. I still believe that's why we're working on the Bible. That's why we're trying to get a radio station. That's why we're trying to do something. But listen, personally, if you ask me, will it happen? I have to say no. I don't think it will happen. But it can happen. It can happen. But I don't think it will. Because I see the intentions of the people. I'm just praying, God, say, give us the last time. I mean, we could just have a blowout. We say, why? I mean, that's the very last time. And what I see over there is just like they're trying to shut the Christians down. That's exactly what I see. And I pray that before they do, the Lord could give us a will door opening. That we could be able to preach to the whole 10 cities. Well, maybe that would make a difference. That would make a big difference. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 23. 2 Kings, chapter 23. Second Kings chapter 23, verse 25. Second Kings 23, verse 25. This is what it says, 25:26. And like unto him, he's talking about Josiah, King Josiah. And like unto Josiah, and like unto him, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the guy took the power. He was what, 8 years old, and he actually cleaned the sins of Solomon. Solomon just perverted the place. He had to clean all the sins. I mean, the corruptions of Solomon, of King Solomon. There was no king like him, before him and after him. You know the sad thing? The sad thing, he served God. While he's serving God, God says, you know what? This guy is a godly man. I mean, a humble man, a good man. But truly, he could have turned the fierceness of God. The Lord said, because the people crossed the very last lane, I will have to have you sleep with your fathers, because I will bring my wrath anyhow. Anyway, it's just amazing to see that. It says in verse 26, it says, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. I mean, it's just amazing. Verse 27, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. It's just amazing. You never had a guy like him, like Josiah. Just like if we never had a church like First Bible Church. I mean, the Lord can find some pleasure in you at the very time and you know, and place. But truly, this time, the wrath of God is not turning away. The wrath of God is not turning away from this place. I mean, the Lord might choose to spare you, but that doesn't mean the wrath of God is turning away from this place. I've heard some of the testimonies of some people last week that actually I've heard the woman where they were screaming the name of Jesus Christ while actually a tornado was taking their home away. The lady, one of the ladies, she had a baby in her arm. And then she had two other children beside her. I mean, the two other children stayed, and the baby she had in her arm, that thing disappeared. I mean, that baby disappeared. They never found the baby. I mean, this is hard. I mean, some of the people are only crying, man, that was really hell. But they're only crying, I mean, the name of Jesus, 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 save us. I mean, it's terrible to see that. There's another guy that says, it's hard for Christians to use verses, I mean, to talk about, you know, this kind of tragedies. But what else you want us to use? What else? I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. It's really hard. But, I mean, we must face the reality of it. We must face the reality of it. Some folks, I mean, write some books about the Haitian earthquake, saying that the Lord God is the God of love. He will never do such a thing to Haiti. I said, poor soul. Poor soul. The Bible says the devil is the word of God. And you'll be amazed to see how many things that the God allowed the devil to do. But one thing, yesterday, me and the pastor, we were talking about the raining and the Philippines. I mean, it was raining. They wanted to go out and to give out tracts and to preach. It was raining and they prayed and the rain stopped. I didn't get a chance to say that last night, but I'll say it right now. The Haitian priest, the voodoo priest, they can bring rain. And they do. I mean, people may not believe it, but I do. I believe it. Because we had some people that used to serve the devil willingly, that got saved. I mean, you would be amazed to hear these testimonies when now they're Christians. They do. That's why all of the rains that are not from God. But they also say a good Christian can stop that rain. I mean, just like, you know, if it's the Lord can just stop it. I mean, you know, give the brother a couple hours, I mean, to do their business. And then after that, continue, because the earth and the people, they need the rain. But it's just amazing. I mean, 2 weeks ago, China produced rain now. They had a drought. They just throw some chemical in the air, I mean, just mix with the cloud, and then to give them rain. I saw it. It's just amazing. Now, you don't have to pray to God for anything, man. This is the time of manpower. There is no such thing about Bible and you know, praying and begging God. I mean, that's a waste of time. Because we can do it. But watch out. One day we will say, finally, we bring peace into the world. And this is safety. So we do it. I tell you, man, you better run fast. Because the Bible says it will be sudden destruction. And they shall not escape, the Bible says. They shall not escape. It will be worse than an earthquake. It's just amazing. Verse 22. No, chapter 22 then. Chapter 22. 2 Kings. Chapter 22. Yes, 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 19. It says, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I speak against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king's word again. There was a sister that left a testimony in a church. In that church, she died Sunday, and the earthquake happened in Haiti on Tuesday. She said that the Lord showed her there is going to be a big stuff. She said a lot of people will die. But she begged God that the Lord, please, take me first. She was not sick. She died on Sunday. That thing happened on Tuesday. And 350,000 people get killed there. And the people in that church was giving the testimony. I mean, that's exactly what she left, what she said. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Well, let's finish with this thing. And let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 9. The Lord says, this guy serve him, and this guy love him, but he's going to take this guy in peace. His eyes will not see what the Lord intended to bring. Because he's a good man. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I mean, we know in this church, if you really, I mean, you love God, you're serving God. God might spare you from seeing the very destruction that will come when finally your own country will declare that he bring peace finally into the whole world without Christ. Therefore, the Lord might spare us from seeing the rest of the verse. What will happen? Because I believe without a doubt it will happen. It will happen. Without a doubt. Just like before we read this, we're going to read an Isaiah. Before we read this, I mean, I remember 1 John 5:16 says, there is a sin unto death. There is a sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I mean, it says, I do not say that you should pray for it. That means there is a line that will cross. Forget it, man. Prayer will not have God repent. Prayer will do nothing for it. People are wasting their times. I've heard them on the radio in Haiti saying that, I mean, we could have a beautiful Haiti. I mean, now we're going to have the most beautiful heavenly Haiti. I mean, I just said, Lord, have mercy on them. That's a nightmare dream, man. It will never happen. It cannot happen. It will never happen. I mean, we can help save some souls. Oh yes, we can do that. And at the very last moment, we should really try our best. I mean, to finish this race, you know, in a very good note. I mean, with a shout, with a blast, we should. But the people believe that we're going to have a heavenly Haiti. I tell you, man, this is crazy. You will never have that. And now, you have the voodoo people that have their university. They just put their secret book out. They call it the Bible. And Haiti accepted. And you have the Freemasons that give you no chance. And now you have, all the cardinals coming from the Pope. They actually take all the televisions and all the radios, the Catholics. They give you no chance. I was, 2 weeks ago, there's a little girl in my church. They had this girl, because she goes to a Catholic church. And then they had her, the communion in the Catholic church thing. They force her to come on Sunday morning to their mass. It's a slavery. For example, they have professional schools, which the Christians don't have. If you go learning, like, you want to become a nurse, you want to become, a lawyer, you go to the Catholic schools. When you go there, they said, you have to assist the Catholic mass every Sunday morning. If you don't, you're out. And there's not much choices for good schools. So now, I got so filmed up. This thing really, really hurt me. To see, her mother is a saved woman, her father is not. But this girl came to me one time, she said, Pastor, I want to get saved. I said, are you sure? She said, yes. And I said, do you know you're a sinner? And she said, oh, yes, I am a sinner. And I said, do you know Jesus Christ is the Savior? She said, yes, I know He died for my sins. After talking and we knelt down, we prayed. 2 weeks ago, she got, the communion in the Catholic Church. That thing hurt me like you cannot believe. It's a slavery. It's a slavery. And I said, I'd love to have a school to get some people from under that bondage. It's just so terrible. I had a 24-year-old lady. She couldn't come to church when I asked her. She said, in school over there trying to learn this thing, but they have me, run the choir on Sunday morning. I have no choice. I said, man, this is crazy. You pay and you study hard, and then, they have to run your faith also. That's just the way it is. And in America, you have a lot of choices, but you don't have that much choices in Haiti. This thing is a killer. And I hate it with a passion. And I said, somebody should start talking about that. The next time I go to the radio station, I'll probably be the first one to attack that. Because it's terrible. It's a slavery. Some mothers are frustrating. They say that, but it's just like almost there's no power. They cannot do anything about it. Aren't you glad that you were not in Haiti? So, verse 6, it says in Isaiah, we finish. Verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, yes, He is. Amen. Yes, He is. And it says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. So, the peace that these guys are trying to, this American government is trying to just squander the whole America, trying to have everybody killed in a stupid peace. And they don't offer that, for free. And listen, we will not die by having this. We will live and enjoy it. But now, men got the good thing perverted, and you got the very corruption, the perversion of it. And many people have to die for this stupid peace and safety. But let's pray that the Lord really come first. Because really, each day that passed by, I look at the world and I said, Lord, I just wish that you come today. I just wish that, we have big plans. With the church, we'd love to have a television, we have to have a school, we'd love to have this, we'd love to have that. But I tell you, I don't see any money for this. But we're just only going by faith. And by faith that we just hope that the Lord will come first. Truly. And if the people that didn't get saved, that would get saved after they see that the church is taken away, they probably do something with what we started. We stop there. May the Lord bless you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercies. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you so much for this church.